Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this special show on the Four Seasons Fire American Soccer Show. Copa America Centenario Day 1 Review, the opening match as the United States, the host nation, fall to Colombia by a final of 2-0. An 8th-minute tally and a penalty conversion, all in the first half, doomed the United States as they fall to Jose Pekerman's side in Colombia. Once again, the final score, 2-0. We're going to be honest about this performance. But before we even talk about the performance, let's just say this. Colombia is better than the United States. We all know this. Colombia, while they've had 2 decades of poor performances, trying to get players to get back to the level of where they had players like Adolfo Valencia, Carlos Valderrama. Now that they're here, you knew that this was a better side. Pound for pound, a better side than the United States. And while you understand that Colombia was a better side, you felt, at least you thought or believed, that the United States could at least challenge toe-to-toe with Colombia if it was possible. And while there were some moments, that the United States could sneak in a results, maybe play better if possible for this match, if it was possible. We've got to be honest here, and that was probably the worst performance the United States has had under Jurgen Klinsmann. That was, without a doubt, I felt that was the worst performance the United States has had. Was there a chance that they could have snuck in a goal? Possibly. Was there a chance that they could have at least got themselves into position? I mean, there's an opportunity here and there, mostly in the second half. Yes, I thought the shot by Clint Dempsey that was just wide of the near post, that bends in a little bit more, it's a splashdown, and they were leveled at 1. But the truth is simple. Michael Bradley played very poorly. Clint Dempsey had his moments and almost was able to put it in. But still, there was some poor performances there. I thought at least Jurgen Klinsmann, in a situation where you're going to start the second half being down 2, subbing in Pulisic and Nagby should have been at the start of the second half. I think he was still upset at the penalty call. And, the penalty call itself is the right call. Did DeAndre Yedlin turn his back towards the ball? Yes, he did. Where was his left hand? His left hand was tucked inside his body. But where was the right hand? The right hand was in an unnatural position. Maybe a little bit in an angle. Waving. I wouldn't say waving. Just, I hope it hits my arm and the referee doesn't see it. It hit his arm. The referee saw it. Blew for the whistle. I waited for the replay. And there it was. It was a penalty. You cannot argue that. It was absolutely horrendous. You know, Colombia played well, but I thought the United States did not play very well myself. Joining me right now, Spanish language play-by-play man for New York City FC Radio, as well as ESPN International, ESPN Deportes, NFL, and everything else he can get his hands on because he is that good. Roberto Abramovich joins me. Roberto, your comments and your analysis of this match.
Thank you so much for having me. Obviously, for U.S. fans, we prefer to be talking about some sort of victory today, but that wasn't the case. The U.S. didn't look like anything like Bolivia, and it shouldn't have. Because Bolivia is one of the lower teams in CONMEBOL that has not been playing very, very well. And now you're playing the fourth best team in the world, at least according to the FIFA rankings. And it showed. It showed the quality. It showed the and the U.S. just did not play as well as it had in the last game. And the 2-0 scoreline is a very fair scoreline for what we saw.
I agree with you. I thought Colombia was 10 times better than the United States. I mean, we all know, of course, watching Jaime Rodriguez in the World Cup, leading this young team, of course. So Jose Pekerman does an incredible job once again, leading Colombia into battle with the United States. And you have to give credit to the better team, and that is Colombia. I mean, you're correct. There's no shame in falling 2-0 to one of the best sides in South America, in CONMEBOL, fourth ranked side in the world. But still, though, the way the USA performed tonight was absolutely terrible.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to call it absolutely terrible, but I'm going to say it's going to be very disappointing. And I'll say it for this reason. The amount of turnovers that the U.S. had, again, was abysmal. I counted, well, there were 36 in the first half. I haven't seen the full stats yet as far as turnovers are concerned to see how many more they had in the second half. But, you know, you need your star players to come out and shine. And I thought Clint Dempsey did well for himself. He got that header that was saved by Ospina. The free kick was brilliant, and Ospina pulled it out of the corner. And for what it was worth, I thought that he did okay in the role that he had to play. But you needed Bradley, Michael Bradley, to be a force on this team. And Michael Bradley was not a force on the team. He was average at best, and probably a lot less than what we expect from him. Too many turnovers, too many careless passes, too many times where he didn't run back the way that I would expect him to run back. And the U.S. needs for its great players to play great. And Michael Bradley isn't one of those players, and he didn't do that. The other thing that was disappointing for me was I really thought that Darlington Nagbe and Christian Pulisic were going to come in and be able to try to change the game, and it didn't happen. And Nagbe barely saw the ball. Obviously, Pekerman scouts the U.S., knows what it has to do, kept somebody on him, and neither Pulisic nor Nagbe had any sort of impact on this game. And that was a shame.
Yeah, it really was. I really thought, to be honest, I thought that both Pulisic and Nagbe should have been subbed in as soon, just before the second half whistle blew. I just didn't understand why Klinsmann waited a little bit too long to sub these guys in. I thought they should have gone in right away. And I even felt Graham Zuzzi's subbing in so late. He subbed him in so late. I mean, I know he's a good free kick taker and stuff, but still, though, that was a late substitution.
Yeah, I agree. See, I would have made the first two subs at halftime because I think that the team needed to be re-energized. And as we saw, the minute the second half started, it was all Colombia for the first 6-7 minutes, and then the U.S. finally found its legs, and then finally was able to get a hold of the ball. But I would have expected Nagbe and Pulisic to come into the game a lot earlier. And I was surprised that they pulled Jermaine Jones out. I thought he was going to pull Gyasi Sardis out. But he pulled Jones out. Jones obviously wasn't happy. And, you know, that's not a terrible thing. You want your guys who are being taken out to be disappointed that they're being subbed. But, you know, he didn't seem to be the problem. I didn't know. I would have thought maybe Bedoya would have come out earlier because he wasn't having the type of impact that you would have expected him to have in a game where he's playing against the country of his parents and his grandparents. And I didn't think Zardes had, you know, a good game at all. I didn't think he was bad. I didn't think he was good. He was just there.
Yeah. I mean, it was just really, really tough to watch this. And, you know, especially on the eighth minute where Colombia got their corner. And sadly, Cameron lost his man on the pick. And you just got to give Colombia credit because they found a way to avoid, you know, to get at least a defender off one of their players to go and convert. And it happened. It was a great
That's a great play for Colombia.
Yeah.
That is a great, great play. Edwin Cardona takes a perfect corner kick, and Christian Zapata is able to come from the far post all the way to basically the penalty spot, and they pick Cameron. But even though Cameron gets there an instant late, mind you, the fact that Christian Zapata can hit that one-time volley and place it where he did with the power that he did, the precision is amazing. That is just an absolute great goal.
It really was. It was just unbelievable how he was able to just break away from Cameron. And for Cameron, he had to take the long way around to try and remark him, and it was already too late.
Absolutely. And then on the second goal, I don't have a problem with a penalty kick. And I'll tell you why I don't have a problem with a penalty kick. And the reason for me is that it's one of those 50-50 calls.
Mm-hmm.
And either way that he calls it, or doesn't call it, if you like, okay, I think that it's right. It's very, very hard to argue. Obviously, from a U.S. perspective, you would wish that Roberto Garcia hadn't called the penalty kick. But as Yedlin turns his body, his hand is out there, and that interferes with the shot. And, you know, some referees will call it. Some, you know, won't. Normally, it's ball to the hand is a penalty. Hand to the ball isn't. But or the other way around, rather, right? Well, ball to the hand isn't, and hand to the ball is.
Yes.
But as he turns his body, he leaves his hand out there, and that gives the referee the opportunity to make that call. If he makes it, if he calls it, I can understand it. If he doesn't call it, I can understand it. And to me, it's one of those things, and James Rodriguez did a masterful job of taking that penalty kick.
Yes, he did, and I do agree with you. I said it. It's a penalty. I mean, like, it could have been, no, we'll leave it alone, but no, we're going to have to call it. And yeah, and he called it. There's nothing you can do about it, and you're absolutely right. Yes, the left hand was tucked inside his body, Yedlin, but the right arm and the hand, you saw it. He left it out there to try and stop the ball from crossing into the box. That's a penalty. There's nothing that it's a call. It's the correct call. It's a penalty.
And yet, again, if he doesn't call it, I'm fine with it as well, because the other interpretation is that he's just turning to get away from being hit and getting his face blown off. And so that's where his hand just wound up being, and you can say it wasn't intentional, and I'd buy that theory as well. You know, there are areas of gray in soccer that sometimes don't exist in other sports. If Odell Beckham Jr. drops a pass and it touches the ground and he picks it up, you know, it's an incomplete pass. If the referee doesn't see it and replay can't pick it up, then it's going to continue to be a completed pass if the referee doesn't see the ball bounce. But over here, there are
absolutely
areas
correct.
Of gray.
Yep.
There are areas of gray, and not everything's black and white. And this penalty isn't a black and white, situation. Speaking of players who didn't play up to their potential, by the way, DeAndre Yedlin was one of them as well. After the way he had played for Sutherland and the way he had showed for the two first U.S. games and as warm-ups to Copa America, you expected a lot more from him. He was another one of the players that was absolutely disappointing last night.
Yes, he was, and it's just terrible to see what was supposed to be. I mean, I felt and that, okay, fine. We, like you said before, Bolivia, it's a lower-leveled side in CONMEBOL, and I agree with you. Bolivia is not where they should be in the world rankings, if possible. But still, though, while Colombia is the better team, and they have much better players, obviously, that doesn't say that the USA does not have better players, but the truth of the matter is that the better players who did step up wore the dark blue jerseys and the yellow and red trim stripes going across their chest. was the team that deservedly got the result.
No, without a doubt, they were the better team. And look, after they scored their early goal, they just decided that they were going to sit back and counter. And so that's why the U.S. was able to get as much of the possession as they did. And I was basically, I was with a group of friends watching the game at the house, and I was telling them, you know, I just hope that the U.S. doesn't score too early, because then Colombia is going to go out and play, you know, attacking aggressive soccer. I was hoping that this game would wind up being 1-0 until about the 85th minute, and the U.S. would find a way to be able to tie it. But then the handball changed everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, aside from a couple of attempts from Dempsey, there really wasn't much from the United States as far as coming close to scoring.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And that's what I was hoping for, too, actually. I was thinking, you know, a draw would be a great result for the United States, because if you hold them off long enough, and maybe, just maybe, you get to half just being down a goal. I mean, that's a victory within itself, because as they've been saying on the broadcast, goal differential or, you know, is very, very important if you want to at least get to either the top or the second spot out of the groups so you can advance to the quarterfinals.
Absolutely. And so, look, the fact that they were able to hold it to, you know, to a 2-0 scoreline, look, here's what the U.S. has to hope for, is that Paraguay and Costa Rica find a way to get a tie tomorrow, and then the United States is able to win or tie, then, you know, one game and at least tie another one. And, you know, with 4 points, just like they did in the World Cup, get out into the quarterfinals. But, yeah, they're going to need a little bit of help. But, you know, if they win their next two games, then they don't need any help at all. It's
That's
still
right.
up to them. It's just a disappointing result for tonight against the best team in their group. And now they have to recoup and on Tuesday, you know, do what they can to get a result.
Absolutely. Roberto, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Hope to talk to you again tomorrow night, and we can talk about the next three matches that are going to happen this Copa America Centenario. It is one of the best continental club tournaments in the world outside the World Cup.
No, without a doubt. I mean, the Euros are obviously a wonderful tournament, but this one, now that it includes all of the Americas, is going to be a wonderful, wonderful showcase of great soccer throughout the entire month, and hopefully that people can get out to the stadium and see these games, or at least watch them on TV, and then at least hear you talk about them on the radio afterwards.
Absolutely. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
All right. Take care. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Roberto Abramovitz giving us his opinions of the match, and if anyone wants to call in, go right ahead. It's a live show right now until we get to the end of the hour. And then becomes an archive show, and you can't call in anymore. So 646-929-1823. The phone lines are open, 646-929-1823. Call in. If you supported Colombia, give us a reason why you're happy. If you, of course, support the United States, tell us why you feel disgusted or you feel upset and angry. All comments within reason, are allowed here. All opinions are allowed here. And once again, it's just been very, very disheartening to see this United States team playing that poorly. Obviously, Clint Dempsey did have some good moments. You felt bad for Brad Guzan. Looks like he was a man on the island all alone. And several times, I thought in the second half, I thought Colombia was going to poke one in, or that opportunity that nails the crossbar and out, of course. And that didn't happen. But still, though, the point is the United States just did not look like themselves. And we've said this before. Obviously, Argentina and Brazil are the top two sides in South America when you discuss about the type of teams that they are. Colombia, obviously, is there. Uruguay is there. Paraguay, at the moment, I think, are in flux currently. Just a lot of issues right now for the United States, and they got to take on Costa Rica. Costa Rica right now, they're going to take on Paraguay tomorrow. Obviously, we'll get to the matches for tomorrow, but still, though, it's just been really, really difficult, really, really tough to watch this, and it's just really terrible. Real quick, some news has come along here on Twitter from NBC News. We'll take a quick break from the soccer in a minute, but former world heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali has passed away at the age of 74. A great player in his sport of boxing, and really shame to see. Well, he was slowly deteriorating, but still, though, Muhammad Ali dead at the age of 74. One of the greatest boxers of all time. Now let's get back into this. And let me just say this. It's that, has the program improved? Has the program improved under Jurgen Klinsmann? And now, I guess, with the questions from the media asking, is this a benchmark game? And I don't know if this is a benchmark game at all. I don't know if there is such a thing as a benchmark game when you still have two games remaining in this group. And once again, but still, though, the point is that it's just been really, really difficult to watch this. And it's just been very hard to see them not connecting on their passes. Now, obviously, Clint Dempsey, you know, if Ospina does not make those saves, obviously the U.S. Is on the board, and maybe all of this can be an easier pill to swallow. But obviously, this is not an easy pill to swallow. The pill is very bitter, and it's just absolutely terrible to see what has happened. But still though, you know, he's just watching it, and it's just absolutely disheartening. So all you can do really is this. All you can do is just go ahead, get it off your chest, say what's on your mind. This has been a very difficult, difficult match, obviously. And all you can do is just wonder what's going to have to change. Pulisic came in, and you really can't say anything about Pulisic right now because obviously this is his first tournament outside of whatever he's had to do going forward. But still, though, still, it's just been really, really tough. But still, it's just been one of those things where it's been very difficult, and all you can do is just, you got to move on now. You got to take your lumps and move on and get ready for Costa Rica in 3-4 days' time. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough. And like I said before, you know, Colombia is a strong team. It's a very strong team. There's no two ways about it. There's just no two ways about it. This is a strong Colombian team that the U.S. got beat handedly. But all I can say is that for the United States, they just got to pick themselves up. And there's going to be some changes. There's going to have to be some changes because right now it just doesn't look good for Jurgen Klinsmann. It doesn't look good, period. And is it the personnel? Because I'll say this right now. Has Michael Bradley I think the question is coming to mind now. Has Michael Bradley fallen down? Is it now a question of, is he really the next, guy to get cut from the national team before or if they qualify for Russia 2018? I think that's a serious question now, because here's my opinion. My opinion is that I believe that Michael Bradley is not or should not be in such a deep midfield position. I think Michael Bradley, and this is what I've always believed in Michael Bradley, Michael Bradley has offensive capabilities. He should be more up top with the strikers to deliver the ball. But Michael Bradley likes to play in a deep position and brings the ball up. And unfortunately for Michael Bradley, he looks like he hasn't done the right time to pass the ball. Or if he has done the right time to pass the ball, there's no conviction behind the passes. And I think that's also worrisome. I know Jurgen Klinsmann is going to defend his guys. I know Jurgen Klinsmann But still, though, is Michael Bradley now considered, and I'm not going to say lame duck, but is he considered the next person on the chopping block when you're going forward? Unless you've got someone that's ready to take over for him in that role, then I think so. Is Pulisic the one, that's going to take over? I mean, I think that's what Klinsmann's hoping for. Now, like I've said before, we're not going to put any hype on this kid, and I don't want to put any hype on this kid. I don't want to put any unnecessary pressure on this kid. But I think the questions are coming out now. Is Pulisic the man to take over that position, for Bradley? Or is he the one that has to be forced to grow up fast? And I don't think that should happen. This kid is just 17 years old. You know, he's only had a good handful of games. You know, has he shown to be well enough to perform, you know, in a high-pressure situation? I mean, the Bundesliga is high-pressure enough. Forget about national team time. Forget about the national team for the moment, because I think Pulisic is the future for the national team. The question is this. Is he ready to take the burden now? Because if he is, God bless him, because I don't think he's ready for that just yet. But I also believe, and I have to say this, is that we don't know what's going to happen in the future for this national team. I know there's been a lot of question marks. I know there's been a lot of Klinsmann detractors out there, and you have every right to do this. And here's a quote coming now, of course, from DeAndre Yedlin about the penalty. He says, "I didn't try to stop it with my hand or anything, but it hit my hand, and the ref thought it was blatant enough." And, well, at least he's admitting he wasn't trying to block it, or at least prevent the ball from being crossed into the area. Or so, he'll say it. But you know what? That's fine. You know, if that's how he feels, that's fine. But the truth is that when your arm is out like that and it's in an unnatural position, yeah, the referee's going to call it. And there's nothing you can do about that. The referee's going to call it. The referee's going to blow the whistle. And the referee says, "You're going to give a penalty to your opposition." And he pointed right to the spot. And now you have an issue with James Rodriguez with his left shoulder. Now you have an issue with his left shoulder, and we'll see what's going to happen the days coming by. And boy, did you see Colombia trying to hide him from the cameras so that he does not look like he's in pain? Huddled around him. Great job by John Strong to inform us about the situations that was out there on James Rodriguez. I mean, a great player. You want to see him do well. And at the same time, you really hope it's nothing serious because he is such a fantastic talent and how he's been able to bring Colombia out there. But still, that was kind of rough to see him holding that left shoulder and in the pain that he was. So it's just one of those things where it's just been tough. Yet, he had to be subbed out. He had to be subbed out, and he had to just go and say goodbye as he went back to the bench after going back onto the field. And obviously there was going to be a sub anyway. There's no way they're going to let him perform with an injured left shoulder at all. But now the question is this, and I mean, I know everyone is asking this question. And all I can say is this. All I can say is that now you have to ask the question. And the question is this. Does Jurgen Klinsmann now give up his head coaching position? Does he give up being sporting director? Or does Sunil Gulati do the unthinkable and fire him? And when I say the unthinkable, I don't think it's going to happen that Jurgen Klinsmann is going to get fired. It's either he walks away or he gives up one of the jobs that he's holding. If you want to give someone else an opportunity, I just don't believe, you know, it's been tough, but I just don't believe right now that he's going to get fired. Robert Hay joins me right now on this somber evening here on the East Coast, obviously. It's still about 9:30 on the West Coast, Rob, and your thoughts on this opener of the Copa America Centenario for the United States.
Well, there's not a lot of positive ones, no doubt about that. I want to touch on what you just said in a minute, but let me just start with some general match thoughts. You know, this was just a poor outing by the United States. Granted, they were coming up against a better team, a more talented team. But considering that they were playing, you know, on U.S. soil, that this was the opener of this tournament that they were hosting for the first time, and that the hype around it and how this was a great opportunity to showcase U.S. soccer, I thought the effort overall was disappointing, especially from key players. I thought the management by Klinsmann was very bad, very, very bad. His lack of tactical acumen showed through once again. And it was just, I think, an overall disappointment. Maybe the most disappointing thing of all being after the match itself, you hear quotes from the locker room and from the coach saying, or from the manager saying, that this game was pretty even overall, when I think to any neutral observer, it was pretty clear that it was not. So overall, just a very disappointing result in a number of ways for the U.S. team. And to touch real quick on your most recent point that you made about Klinsmann, it ties into this because going into this tournament, there's no pressure on Klinsmann. The U.S. soccer made it clear that the results would have no bearing, and unless they were just trying to give him some cover to go out there and do what he needed to do and keep the pressure off of him, I don't see any changes coming from this tournament because U.S. soccer has no expectations. They'll write this off as, We hung in there with the toughest teams in the world. They're the best teams in the world, you know, the Colombias of the world, the Brazils, and so forth. And we can't expect anything more than right now. If we would have gotten the breaks, we would have won.
I think that's a little disheartening to see that because it's like, I remember when, and I don't know if you remember this, when the Copa America was on its regular cycle, after and it started after the CONCACAF Gold Cup, the United States went down to Venezuela. And, I mean, it wasn't really a full-fledged heavy roster because, I mean, we know this. Gold Cup and CONCACAF is our signature tournament, and I understand, you know, that's where they get the FIFA Confederations Cup spot. Now you have to at least win two games and hopefully, you know, but you have to win both tournaments to ensure you don't have that playoff. But still, it's like there were times when you had one or two players being subbed out because the match against Argentina, the opening match, it was 1-1. And, you know, Jonathan Bornstein, who was a part of the national team at that time, played Messi very well. I mean, he defended him very well until the manager switched Messi over to the other side of the field and there was no Bornstein in front of him and he just dominated the rest of the match. You know, there was no sense of maybe switching Bornstein to the other side. But still, though, the point is that that wasn't a full-strength squad after the Gold Cup going down to play in the Copa America. And it feels like, you know, okay, well, this time we're hosting the thing, but we don't have any expectations in this.
Yep, 100% agree with that. I mean, this was truly an opportunity for the U.S. to kind of showcase. I mean, Jurgen Klinsmann's had time to implement a lot of the goals that he had set for this not only this team, but for this U.S. soccer system. And this is the kind of the perfect opportunity to start showcasing that. And as we know and as we've seen, a lot of those goals have not been met and cannot be met at this point. And it is disheartening because, you know, bringing teams like Brazil, Argentina, bringing up stars like, well, the uninjured stars that are left to come and play and, you know, hopefully play the U.S. I mean, this is truly an opportunity for the U.S. to kind of come out on the soccer, world soccer stage and say, not only can we host a tournament, we can compete in these tournaments as well. And to just from the get-go, sit there and lower the expectations to the point where it's like, meh, it doesn't really matter. This is essentially a bunch of friendlies for us. Is very disheartening. And I might be overstating it, but I don't think I am by saying that.
No, I don't think you're overstating it. I mean, if this is what U.S. Soccer thinks and this is what our federation thinks about this Copa America Centenario, then the truth of the matter is this then, Robert. Then, you know, after the scandals that happened over a year ago, I think U.S. Soccer should have just said, you know what, let's not have it. That's what they should have done. If they're not going to take this tournament seriously, then they should have just canceled the whole thing, period. They should have just said, you know what? It's tied into what happened with Jeffrey Webb. It's tied in to what Blatter did. It's tied into Valka. It's tied to these guys and everyone else that's in within our confederation that basically took all this money to try and get this tournament around and to act like, you know, this is going to be the greatest thing ever, which it probably will be, but if you felt that, you know, well, we're not sure going to have it now because it's soiled because of the bribery scandal, then you shouldn't have had it in the first place. You should have just canceled it.
Yeah, but I think you bring up a good point, and that's something that there's a lot of unanswered questions about that. And I think that the U.S. Soccer Federation hasn't had its feet put to the fire by most people. Now, people like yourself, you know, our colleague Carter Krishnayer and others have really pushed for more answers on these kind of questions. You know, it's one thing to sit there and say FIFA is bad, but what about what goes on in the U.S.? You know, what do we know and what don't we know? And I think there was never any doubt that this tournament was going to go on. There's just too much money, too much prestige. You know, it's going on. You saw the head of FIFA out there right in front of Sunil Gulati shaking hands with the players before the match today. And it was just too juicy of an opportunity for the U.S. to turn down despite all the scandals and everything like that. And, you know, it goes to a point that I've made for a long time. The U.S. is just doesn't seem to be very, you know, they're savvy in some ways in the world soccer game, but they're not savvy enough. They make choices that I think come back to haunt them where they're not major players or, you know, truly major players in the world soccer scheme. And they just care about certain priorities that don't really advance the federation in a lot of ways. So it's very disappointing. You know, I'm selfishly glad that it's being played in U.S. soil. I would never turn down a major tournament like this. You know, the closest game is to me is Philadelphia, which is 2.5 hours away, which is nothing. And I was gladly be able to go to a match if I could. But, you know, I think it's for selfish reasons, I'm glad they didn't turn it down. But I also think it brings up the point where none of questions are being asked about this tournament and what goes on and what has gone on with the U.S. Soccer Federation. And I think that's another disappointment as well.
Exactly. Let me ask you about the substitutions. I was disappointed that Nagby and Pulisic did not sub in early enough. To be honest with you, they should have subbed in before the second half whistle blew. that's how early I thought Klinsmann should have subbed him in. And at the same time, why are you subbing in Graham Zuzi when it's, you know, too little too late? They should have subbed him in. They should have just – he should have emptied all three subs, in my opinion.
Well, it's tough because when you have a manager that goes by the textbook, you're not going to get ambitious substitutions. If we had a manager that was truly tactically savvy and was gutsy, you would have seen a substitution, I think, in the first half. I think it was pretty apparent early on that the 4-3-3 was not working. And there are some managers out there that would have made even a first half substitution. Now, that being said, not a lot of them do, and that's perfectly understandable, but to not have come out in the second half with a formation change or a lineup change is inexplicable. I mean, it was very apparent that the 4-3-3 was not working with the personnel out there, that there could have been some adjustments made. Even if you want to throw out Nagby at halftime, I think would have been a perfectly reasonable and smart idea. But again, he went to the whole idea of, well, we're starting the second half slow, so we're going to make our substitution at the time you normally do. It was very disappointing. And yes, he threw on the hottest name in U.S. soccer right now. And yes, he threw on Nagby, who everybody thinks is going to do really great things for this team, and I think will as well. But it just didn't make sense within the context of the game. It made sense in a very textbook, neutral environment sense, but not as the game was going on. And then, as you mentioned with Graham Zuzi, it just didn't – I mean, that's too little, too late to not really make a difference in this game. So it was just seemed like a waste of substitutions.
Yeah, I think just too little, too late, and it's just really tough to see that going on in this match. And, you know, look, I'm not going out and bashing our guys because I want to. It's like this. It's like you want them to do well against a tough side like Colombia. Colombia has had their years, these last two decades, where after what happened in 94, you know, obviously what happened with, of course, Escobar with, being killed for no reason, to be honest with you, because mm-hmm. of the whole the drug lords that basically splintered off after the other Escobar was killed, who was the leader of everything. But still, though, you know, it took them a long, long time to get to where they are now. And right now, they're playing fantastic. Colombia's always been they've always played tough against the United States. And you know what? You give them credit for playing tough against the United States. But what you want to see from the guys, whether they're old, they're young, or in the middle, or, you know, okay, you haven't played – I mean, you've played against Brazil, and Brazil's handed you your lunch every single time. But still, you want to see some fight. And I think that's the only thing that was missing in this loss. They just lost their fight.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S., I think – I wouldn't say that individual players didn't try. I think everybody tried, but I don't think they tried smart a lot of times. I think what you saw, especially in the second half, when you saw some really dumb fouls, I think that was pretty indicative. I mean, at that point, that's when I looked down at my keyboard. I was typing some game notes for, you know, some articles I was writing up, and that's the kind of the point where I typed in, you know, game over, when you saw and it's getting to the point on the East Coast where I'm starting to forget names of the players, but I think it was the Bedoya foul or the yellow card, the first yellow card that came out. It was, those were just dumb. There was no rhyme or reason for them. The Brooks flashpoint and things like that. There was no tactical reason for them. It was just frustration. It was just, you know, anger. And you saw, I think, a kind of unraveling a little bit of the U.S. Now, for their credit, of course, they came back. They played hard at the end of the match. But again, what you saw was a lot of individual mistakes being made. You know, Clint Dempsey tried to take the game on his shoulders, and that doesn't work. Michael Bradley, I think, pushed and pressed more, and that just led to more mistakes. And, you know, it just – you saw players out there either trying too hard or just not playing smart because they were trying to do too much. And, you know, it just didn't help the U.S. get back in this match. So I think there wasn't enough smart play, and I think that was disappointing from a fan perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the one thing that I do agree with you. I'm not saying they didn't try. I didn't say, you know, you don't want to say that they didn't try. They, of course they did. You want to believe that everyone who puts on the national team shirt is going to try and do well. But when you're not doing your tactics smartly, you're going to get burned. And I agree with you. That's what happened. They just got beat badly, especially on the set piece where Cameron got picked. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I know he tried hard to get back to his marker to try and prevent it, but it was already too late. Lacrosse was placed perfectly. You're not going to beat – you're not going to get back in time to beat that unless you're going to find a way to maybe dive across and handle it. But don't we're not going to talk about another handball, obviously. But, you know, it's just hard to see, you know, this team. And they did have chances. Let's not disagree. They didn't have a boatload of chances, but when they had the chances in front of them, you know, either you just missed or you have to say it. You know, great job of Spina. He made those, especially in that second half, you know, he made a great two-handed save to prevent that ball from going into the upper 90 near corner.
Yeah, for Spina, you know, as someone who watches Arsenal a decent amount of time, he's good for matches like this where he comes out and shows great reactions, great skill, and then he'll come out with a real stinker. And tonight was more of the impressive Ospina outing, so unfortunately for the U.S. Now, back onto the first goal. One thing, you know, that reminded me of, you know, I watch a lot of basketball. I'm a big basketball fan. And one thing they teach you when you set up a pick in basketball, there's a couple of different ways to handle it. But the way that Cameron handled that, essentially, basketball pick, was pretty much the worst way, which is kind of drift below it and, you know, let your guy, if it's in basketball, catch the ball. There's a, you know, you fight through it, you show some effort, you switch, you do something. And I think what you saw there was just kind of a mental lapse. So I do fault him for that, is that he just kind of went, he just floated and didn't really put as much effort into either disrupting the run or doing something else. I think there's more that could have been done there. So I do mentally fault him for that. But yeah, I mean, the U.S. did have chances. Ospina did have a really good – had a good game, had made a couple of good saves. Still, it was too little, I think, considering what was at stake in this match and really what the U.S. should have done against a good opponent.
Absolutely. Now, I do have a little bit of a bone to pick with you.
Oh no, I'm shocked to hear that.
But you know, I'm gonna kill you with kindness because I always enjoy having you with these discussions of the game. Mm-hmm. But it's gonna be on that long distance shot by Dempsey. I know, I know, because if Ospina was going to actually watch that ball going towards the near post and it may be a little more inside, he would have made the save. I disagree with you. I think Ospina was beaten. I believe he was beaten. If the ball was going to bend in a little bit more, not all the way, like far away into him, I think it would have gone inside the near post from Dempsey, and I think it would have been 1-1. That is where I disagree with you slightly, because he thought the ball, which the ball did, it went wide of the near post, but if it did curl in just a little bit more, I think he would have mistimed it, and there's no way he would have gotten to it.
And you know what? I will give you the credit because on watching the replay, I think that was that's a very accurate description. The ball did look like it was going wide. Ospina was ready to let it go, and then I think at the last second it curled just enough to make it close, and it would have beaten him if it would have curled some more. So I will give you kudos on that one.
Thank you. You see, I'm a fair person. I'm a very fair person because I will always agree with what you're saying, but, you know, once in a while I'll challenge, but I'll challenge kindly because it's wrong to go against Robert Hay, ladies and gentlemen, because the man's a very smart person. He knows the game very, very well. So.
And then when the recorder goes off, that's when he lets the vitriol fly.
Why you such and such and so and so? Whoops, did I say that loud? No. But, yeah, I mean, you know, next match will be, I believe, again on Tuesday in Chicago against CONCACAF opponents, Costa Rica. What do we need to see besides a better mental performance from the United States?
I don't think we need to see the same 4-3-3 we saw today. I think we need to see, you know, Costa Rica is a very different opponent. There's a lot of familiar faces from both from CONCACAF qualifying and then from MLS and some players that have played in some larger leagues out there. So there's going to be a different challenge. There's going to be some technical savvy, but maybe not as much as Colombia had, but there's going to be some definite goal scorers out there. You look at somebody like a Joel Campbell, for example, who I think has caused and can cause the U.S. a lot of problems. So I think you need to figure out a way between now and then to get Michael Bradley more involved in the game. I think you need to figure out your midfield so that way Bradley can be the box-to-box midfielder that I think he plays very well without sacrificing up front some of the scoring opportunities. I don't think you should play Pulisic, which is what everyone is going to say. I don't think you should start. But I do think if you can work in maybe a Nagby into the rotation, that might be a good way to look to be in this match. But I really think that Klinsmann needs to take an assessment of this team and figure out how they match up against Costa Rica specifically and how he can best utilize his players. And if the plan doesn't go right, be ready to make some changes because this is a very important match and the U.S. cannot take it lightly because Costa Rica, while not on the level of an Argentina or a team like that, is a quality team. And they're a team that can beat the U.S.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But let me ask you this, though. Because Jurgen Klinsmann used, and you know, I know he's tried different formations in the past. He went with a 4-3-3. Does this suit our players, or are we going to have to go back to the bread and butter 4-4-2? Because you know, I just can't see in a competitive tournament a 4-3-3 being implemented the way that Klinsmann has this whole thing set up. Because I just don't see them. You know, dominating against the tougher sides of CONMEBOL, as well as, of course, you know, old enemies in Mexico and Costa Rica.
I think with the personnel he has and he's using now, I don't think it would work. Maybe with a couple of different, if you switched out a couple of current U.S. players with, you know, some players that either don't exist or haven't been called up, then it could work. You know, in the craziest of all possible worlds, maybe you can throw out kind of an Italian 3-5-2, but that, he doesn't have the personnel for that either. But I think you are looking at probably for the U.S. either a 4-2-3-1 or a diamond 4-4-2, just so that way you can utilize some of the good wing players that like a DeAndre Yedlin, somebody who can roam forward a little bit more if need be, or even play him in the midfield, but also provide a little bit more personnel in the midfield to help Michael either help Michael Bradley out defensively or to give him some outlets to get to the forwards. But I think the way this team is constructed, you're going to have to look at a different formation. Or in the next tournament, if you're really dedicated to a 4-3-3, which I don't think Klinsmann is, but if he were, he would have to look at some other players to call up to make it work.
All right, let me throw in a local question for you. Do you think Birnbaum's going to get an opportunity in this next game? Because I'm telling you right now, Cameron looked lost, and while he did redeem himself a little bit in the middle of the first half, I just have a funny feeling that Steve Birnbaum could be the man to maybe replace him at center back. What do you think?
I'll answer your question at half yes. I don't think he'll be starting in the next match. I think Klinsmann seems to like this back four pairing that he has, even though it looked poor at times. But I do think Birnbaum is a very good chance that he will work his way into the starting lineup for 2018. You know, in this tournament, I'm not sure if he'll get that starting opportunity, but I think he's showing when he does play with the national team that he does have some of those skills that would make for a good international center back. Not a great international center back, but a good enough one for the U.S. So if he does get playing time in this tournament, it'll be towards working its way towards 2018. I think he's a definite possibility for the U.S. national team's starting 11 in the near future.
All right. Well, Robert, listen, thank you very much. I will talk to you next time. Let's see what happens when they take on Costa Rica in a couple of days. But thank you again, and I will correct you the next time you try to challenge me. No.
You're always good for it. So.
Just a little
bit. It's always
bit.
Fun to chat, especially no matter what the result. It's always fun to chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot, Robin. I'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Robert Hay, Jr. from World Soccer Talk and, of course, other other sites on soccer, as well as Roomies at the Movies. That's an interesting movie review podcast. But anyway, so as we're winding it down here, I mean, if anyone wants to call in, 646-929-1823. If you want to call in, discuss this match with the time that's remaining. But once again, it's just been a very, very difficult, very, very difficult performance to wrap your hands around. Well, you really can wrap your hands around because it was terrible. But still, though, when you're facing a tough side again like Colombia that is very talented and you're not up for it, you know, that's a serious problem there, that and questions need to be answered. And it's just one of those things. It's just one of those things where it's so difficult and so, so tough to understand what the heck is going on here. It's just so difficult to see that happen. And you would like to think, you would like to think that these things would be a little bit better, but you know, it's still stinging. It's still stinging. But like I said before, you know, you hope for the U.S. national team, they play a better match against Costa Rica, because let me tell you something right now. It doesn't matter when this tournament ends. You know, there's always World Cup qualifying. And when it's World Cup qualifying and you're going to get to the hexagonal. And when you get to the hexagonal, all you can do is, you know, worry about what's going to happen if you're not going to do the job. And you're not going to qualify for the World Cup. Then what questions are going to be asked? What questions will we have to ask when you get to World Cup qualifying? Because that's going to be the number one issue. So all you can do is just sit back, relax, and see what's going to happen when the United States takes on Costa Rica. And at the same time, you're going to have to watch tomorrow. You're going to have to watch tomorrow and see what's going to happen between Paraguay and Costa Rica, because that's also going to be a big question mark, isn't it? That will be another question mark, depending on where the United States are going to be in this group. Because right now they're in dead last, and they need help big time. So if that's going to be a draw, then the United States has a saving grace. But the real saving grace is this. The saving grace is that they're going to have to win these next two games. Costa Rica beat Paraguay and get into the second round and try and do it as much as you can, as much as possible, because I'm telling you right now, because this has been tough. This has been very, very tough to watch, and everyone's ready to send Jurgen Klinsmann packing out the door, either for one of the two jobs or both. So we'll see what happens. Thanks for listening tonight live. Copa America Centenario, day one review show. The United States falls to Colombia by a final of 2-0. Join me again at the same time as we will have day two of the Copa America Centenario review shows. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you to Roberto Abramovich and Robert Hay Jr. Enjoy your football. Bye-bye for now.